I'm Molly, and welcome to a very special Care Experts Live brought to you by Care Credit in partnership with Sleep Number. Care Credit is a health, wellness, and personal care credit card that has helped millions of people with promotional financing options and is accepted at hundreds of thousands of provider and retail locations nationwide. And it looks like we already have some folks in the live stream here. Thank you so much, MJ, Claire, Amanda, Kenneth. Oh, and it looks like it's Diana T's birthday today. Happy birthday, Diana. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you all for being here. Today we will be answering your questions about sleep. And a little later, we are going to be revealing Sleep Number's sale plus an exclusive Care Experts Live offer. So stay tuned. Now let's meet our care expert. So today we are joined by sleep expert, Dr. Mark S. Aloya. Mark is the head of sleep and behavioral sciences at Sleep Number and an associate professor of medicine. He specializes in connecting the dots between sleep, health, and consumer needs. Dr. Aloya, welcome to Care Experts.
Thanks, Molly. It's my pleasure to be here.
We are so lucky to have you and excited to get into all things sleep, answer some of our live streamers' questions. And first, we just wanted to ask, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. I'm a clinical psychologist by training, specializing in health psychology. And I got interested in sleep during my internship. And when I was exposed to how to treat insomnia behaviorally, we were able to take people off of medications and get them sleeping soundly in 2 to 4 weeks. So that was really appealing to me. And, you know, as a psychologist, we just want to help people. And I saw what we could do and just decided to stay in this field of sleep medicine.
That is incredible. So I also have to ask, what do you do when you're not helping people get their best sleep?
Well, I'm a father of two, and so I spend a lot of my time doing that, spend time with friends and just try to live a balanced life, because I think that's kind of what's most important to bringing your best self to relationships and to work every day.
Absolutely. I think that's what we all try to strive for. Now, did you always know that you wanted to help people with their sleep?
Not really, Molly. I mean, the sleep part of it sort of came later, like I said, during internship. I always wanted to be in the helping professions, but it was just profound what we could do with people who had insomnia, using sleep science and really putting it into action so that people could sleep soundly, sometimes after struggling with insomnia for over a year. And it really just affected me personally to see that I could be that helpful, and it affected my patients. So that's what really got me into the field of sleep.
For someone who suffers from insomnia, it must be truly life-changing to, you know, not suffer from that anymore.
It really is. And, you know, when you can help someone turn it around like that pretty quickly, it's very fulfilling, I think, for both people. And certainly as a clinician, it was fulfilling for me to do that.
Absolutely. Now, a very important question. What is your sleep number?
My sleep number varies. I've had a sleep number bed for 23 years, but I've only been with the company for almost 2 years. And when I started working with the company, I found out that people who vary their sleep number, who vary the pressure of the bed, the firmness of the bed, actually sleep better. So mine varies between about 45 and 55, depending on how I feel. And if I have aches and pains, I change it a little bit. And it works quite well.
That is super interesting. I just learned something as well. Fantastic. Yeah. So what we wanna do is answer some of your questions out there. Thank you again, all of you, for joining us. So we're gonna turn to our live questions here and see what we have from our viewers. All right, so let's take a look at who we have here. Okay, I see a question from Kathy T on falling asleep and staying asleep each night. Do you have any tips to fall asleep faster?
Yes, that's a great question, Kathy. And, you know, I absolutely do have some thoughts on that. If this is something that's happening to you three or more times a week, and it's been going on for, say, a month or longer, you might reach the criteria for chronic insomnia. And that is something that is often behaviorally controlled. And there is a set of sort of tips and therapeutic intervention called cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. And you can look up in your area for someone who does cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. But sort of to get to the bottom of what that tends to be, we often lay down longer than we sleep and we struggle for sleep. And so we're teaching our body to get into the fight every night of trying to get some sleep. And what we do with CBTI is the short version of that, is we shrink that window so that you build up sleep debt over a series of days and you fill that window first. You anchor your wake time and then you back up your bedtime slowly over a period of several days, and you can kind of trick your body into extending that window and filling it with good solid sleep. But I would just look for someone who does CBTI, cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia. There are also books out on cognitive behavioral therapy for insomnia, and there are digital solutions that you can purchase an app and try to do it digitally. And they all have been verified through scientific evaluation. They all work quite well.
That is amazing. I love this episode. I'm learning a lot here. Okay, so next I see we have Linda is asking, how can I get more deep sleep?
Well, Linda, that's a really good question. And you know, these days with people wearing wearable devices all the time and having access to their sleep staging data, I often get the question of, I'm getting too little deep sleep. How can I get more deep sleep? I think, you know, you certainly want to have a comfortable sleeping environment. Deep sleep happens more in the first half of the night. So you want to make sure your bedroom is dark and free from noise. You want to have a truly comfortable sleeping position and give yourself the opportunity to get as deep sleep as you can. I would say don't get hung up on looking at data and thinking, I'm not getting enough deep sleep. That's a sort of a slippery slope that people fall into. You can also exercise during the day. That can help deepen your sleep a little bit. There's no one solution to increasing deep or restful sleep. And that in particular, when we say deep sleep in sleep science, we mean non-REM stages 3 and 4 sleep that are defined by your brain activity. There's no real way to sort of get to the bottom of how do you increase deep sleep, but we know exercise can help. Eating well can help. Not eating too close to bedtime can help. Not having too much alcohol before bedtime can all help. So all of those sort of general sleep tips lead you toward better deep sleep. But again, don't get caught up in the numbers and looking at them every day and saying, oh my gosh, I'm not getting enough deep sleep. Something bad's going to happen, because that just causes stress. And then you end up having poorer sleep.
Absolutely. Stress, I'm sure, does not help at all.
No.
So I've also heard about the, you know, if you expose your body to light in the morning and light in the evening, that can help your sleep cycles. Is that true?
So, you know, that's really referring to our body clock. And light is one of the best ways to regulate your body clock. And as a general rule, we need dim light about an hour, hour and a half before bedtime. So you can go ahead and dim your lights around that time and allows melatonin to flood your brain and prepare you for sleep and in its normal cycle. But the way to really set your body clock is light in the morning. And that's something that most people really don't do. And you probably might not know that a very well-lit indoor room can give you exposure to light. But if you step outside, even on a cloudy day, you'll get more light exposure. So getting up and opening your blinds, turning on your lights, and getting outside for 20, 30 minutes would be the best way to set your body clock to a consistent schedule.
Okay, that's great, great information. Thank you so much. I'm gonna go to one more, I think we have a couple more questions from our viewers here. Michelle M. would like to know, what is a sleep monitor?
A sleep monitor. I would say, you know, I don't know exactly what you're asking with that question outside of course, monitoring your sleep. For infants, we know what those monitors are, but then also monitoring our sleep with wearable devices. There are many wearable devices that can monitor your sleep. They can give you information like your total sleep time. Certainly at Sleep Number, we monitor your sleep duration, your percentage restful sleep, your percentage restless sleep. We can monitor your heart rate and respiratory rate. So there's monitoring of all of those biosignals associated with sleep. You know, we spend a third of our lives sleeping, and we're realizing sleep is a relatively new science. We're realizing that when we, that many health factors that affect us during our day are sort of setting, we're setting our stage for them during sleep. So for example, your immune function and how we respond to stressors, we set the stage for that during sleep. So if that's what you mean by monitoring, then I would say, you know, those are sleep monitors that we often see people bring to the table.
Wonderful. Thank you. And I just want to take a second to shout out some more people in our chat here. Let's see. I see John, Edgar, Jenny, Natalie, Sandra. Thank you so much for being here. We're really excited to have you. And I'm going to pull another question here. It looks like okay, Deborah C mentioned that she struggles with being so tired but just can't sleep and is only sleeping 2 to 3 hours a night. Can you tell us a little bit about what insomnia is?
Yeah, so insomnia, and it refers back to the question we had earlier. Insomnia is typically defined as difficulty falling asleep or staying asleep. That difficulty, if we had to put a number on it, is at least 30 minutes that you're having a hard time falling asleep, or you're up for 30 minutes or more in the middle of the night. You're usually struggling for sleep. That happens 3 or more times a week. And it affects you and it bothers you during the day. We do see sleepiness during the day in insomnia patients. Many times we don't see a lot of daytime sleepiness, but it causes them a great deal of stress.
Absolutely. Now, do you recommend napping during the day? Arwin V wants to know.
Yeah, napping has really increased in its prevalence in our society over the past 5 or so years. And part of that is due to some research that we've found around the effectiveness of naps. Naps can be very effective. We want them to happen like before 1 or 2 p.m. and we want them to be short, something like 20 or 30 minutes for a nap. When you get much longer into 40, 45 minutes, you can often get into deep, restful, non-REM sleep, so non-dreaming sleep, and that's as close to coma as we get. That's a very important stage of sleep that we want to save for the nighttime. And if we have it during the daytime, we often take it away from the nighttime. So make sure those naps are short and timed appropriately.
That is really interesting. I had no idea that going into REM sleep during the day could take away from your nighttime.
Non-REM sleep, yes. If you go into that non-REM sleep, it can take it away from your nighttime, especially if you're closer to your actual body clock sleep time, and then you can struggle to sleep at night.
Wow, that is fascinating. Okay, so let's go to some more questions because this is really good information you're sharing with us. How important is a good bed for sleeping? Alex C is curious if an organic mattress makes a difference.
You know, it's a great question, Alex, and I know that there's an increase in the need for things like organic mattresses or the interest in that. I don't think that there are any data that I've seen in the scientific literature on the difference between, say, an organic mattress and something that's not qualified as an organic mattress. I would say comfort is critical, especially if you have things like pain. It's really hard to sleep if you're in pain. It's really hard to sleep if you're uncomfortable. So having an environment that's inviting and that you can associate with sort of de-stressing and decompressing from the day is really critical in order for you to get good sleep. And if you were to wake up in the middle of the night, having that comfortable, calm environment can help you get back to sleep as well. And a part of comfort, which we may get to later, but I'll just mention in case we don't, is temperature. We definitely want our body to be cool during the night. And most people, if they struggle with temperature, sleep on the hot side. So going a little cooler is probably the way to err rather than going warmer.
That's great information. And I could see how too, sleeping in pain or in a bad temperature can also affect your body during the day and how you're feeling during the day too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You can take that pain that you've had at night. And if you don't get enough sleep, you'll feel more pain during the day as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So we have another question here from Amanda O. Hi, Amanda. Is there anything that I can do to prevent snoring?
So snoring is so common, and we find that in the general population, about 45% of people will say that they're occasional snorers, and another 25% will say that they're regular snorers. And snoring can be a sign of other problems, like obstructive sleep apnea, where you stop breathing during the night repeatedly. And that can be I don't want to say dangerous, I don't want to scare people, but it can be something that affects multiple areas of your health. So snoring is something to attend to. Talk to your doctor about it. You might need a sleep apnea assessment and treatment for sleep apnea, because it could be a sign that something more is going on. With regard to eliminating snoring, there are things like raising your head that can help you snore less. There are devices that you can use that jut your lower jaw out. It's kind of harder to snore when you do that and you open that airway a little bit more. And then certainly sleeping on your back, snoring is more common sleeping on your back. So sleeping on your side can help eliminate snoring. We've known that for ages when, you know, partners will nudge you with your elbow to roll over to your side and you'll stop snoring. So, but my general advice on that is to try to mention it to your doctor and ask for assistance. Maybe you'll need a home sleep test to assess for something like sleep apnea.
Awesome. Thank you so much, doctor. This is incredible information. I'm just going to take us to a short break. We are going to reveal Sleep Number's sale plus the exclusive Care Experts Live offer. Save up to $1,000 on a Sleep Number smart bed. Plus, use the Special Care Experts Live code CAREcredit at checkout for an extra $50 off. Shop now at www.carecredit.com/sleepnumberoffer. Promotions are not valid on clearance non-smart bed closeout items or previous purchases. Savings off full retail price. Restrictions may apply. Prices subject to change without notice. Offer valid 3/6/24 at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 3/18/24 at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Pictures may represent features and options available at additional cost. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Not all bed models are displayed in all stores. Beds and bases not available for in-store pickup. Additional non-refundable shipping and delivery fees apply unless otherwise stated. Shipping and delivery fees do not include return shipping. Enter code CAREcredit at checkout to receive $50 off your purchase of a smart bed. Promotions are not valid on clearance or non-smart bed closeout items or previous purchases. Offers valid 3/6/24 at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 3/18/24, 11:59 Pacific Standard Time. Use of the CAREcredit credit card is not required and is only accepted in store. Okay, so how about some more shout outs here? Let's see, I see George, Felicia, Anthony, Rachel. Oh, and it looks like it's Diana's T's birthday today. Happy birthday. Awesome. Let's see. Okay. So now, doctor, thank you so much for staying with us. We appreciate you sharing your expertise on here on this special episode of Care Experts Live, brought to you in partnership with Sleep Number. All right. So thank you for having us. And we are going to take another question here. Let's see. Do you recommend sleeping with a pillow under your knees? Gwendolyn has that question.
Gwendolyn, good question. I can tell you personally, I do. It often creates more comfort for people. I think having that cushioning can sometimes reduce pain. It also, I find, actually keeps me cooler sometimes at night, and I tend to sleep hot. So anything that you find that creates a more comfortable and welcoming sleep environment is something you should try. I will say that it's a slippery slope to try to look at your sleep every night and say, how was it? Did I do something that helped? I usually tell people, don't make a judgment on your sleep in less than 4 nights. On any given night, you can sleep great, or on any given night, it's normal to have a struggle. So really give it a few nights before you make a decision that that's something you want to take on for a long period of time.
Excellent advice. I like making sure you have a routine going before you know what to adjust to. All right, so Jenny A and Erica B are curious, how many hours of sleep do you recommend each night per age?
Yeah, you know, you can, there's a chart that's a very common chart that you can see in the National Sleep Foundation, and you can Google it to be really specific. But generally, children need something in the teens in terms of total number of hours. They tend to sleep longer. And then as you get into the adult years, about 7 to 9 is what you need. Most people have a sense as to what they need to feel refreshed. I often will ask people, what do you need to feel refreshed? They'll give me a number, and then I'll say, what do you tend to get? And it's often 1, sometimes 2 hours less. So I think we know when we rob ourselves of sleep. But 7 to 9 for adults. I would say the other thing to keep in mind is that adolescents tend to get a little bit more than 7 to 9, but they get it at a different time. Biologically, adolescents are sort of biologically programmed to go to bed a little bit later and sleep in a little bit later. We think that they're being sort of difficult, not wanting to get up for school, but that's a biological tendency to have what we call a delayed sleep phase. And the most delayed you get is late adolescence, which can go up to early to mid 20s. So you see people having being more of a night owl at that period of time. And then it sort of comes back as you get older.
So you're saying our teenagers aren't being lazy, they're just following their natural patterns.
That's exactly what I'm saying, yes. And it's a struggle for us as parents. You know, me too, I have 2 teenagers. And they know, they hear me say it over and over again, how they need to be getting better sleep and not sleeping in too late. Of course, there are things that they can do to manage that by getting up at a regular time. But you know, certainly, I think when your teenagers are still sleeping at noon on Saturday, it's probably time to wake them.
There's no excuse there. It's not a noon sleep rhythm.
Right, right.
Awesome. Well, thank you. I saw that Joni R. asked, and I'm curious about this too, what happens during a sleep study?
So sleep studies, you know, they've changed over the years. It used to be you would go into the hospital. You have EEG electrodes put on your head, on your scalp. They won't cause you any electrical current or anything, but they measure electrical current naturally coming from your brain. And we can sort of map out the brain waves over the night. That helps us determine what stages of sleep you're in at any given point in the night. And we know how you should normally go through different stages of sleep. It tells us if your sleep is sort of following the normal pattern or deviating from the normal pattern in some way. So that's the EEG part of it. You can now do this at home, and it's much easier to do with much fewer electrodes and fewer wires connected to you. And you can have it in your own bed, and it'll monitor your brain waves and your sleep stages. They also will monitor your respiration. So they'll monitor how much effort you put into breathing. And that's important to diagnose things like sleep apnea, where if you have an obstruction in your upper airway and your chest is moving and you're trying to breathe, but no air's coming out, we know that you have an obstruction. That's how that we can tell that. They'll also put a clip on your finger to monitor your blood oxygen level to see that if you do stop breathing, does your blood oxygen decrease? And that all sounds very scary. It's not uncomfortable. It shouldn't be scary, but it is something to uncover if you've had a problem like that, because people can go on for years, again, a third of our life, struggling with breathing problems during the night, and we're pretty much unconscious. So we don't really know that this is happening. Often our partners know, and it concerns them more than it concerns us.
Absolutely. And if you have something like that, it seems like, why not get it checked out? It seems like there's a lot of solutions out there for people.
Yes. And, you know, I think people are often afraid of the treatments, but, you know, take it one step at a time, uncover if there's a problem, talk with your doctor about treatment options, and more options are coming out every year. So I think it's, you know, it's not something to ignore.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Let's take another question here. Let's see. Inspector Gadget, love the name, is curious about sleep apnea. Can you tell us a little bit more about this and if CPAP machines can help?
Yeah. So, Inspector Gadget, I've watched your shows for many years. I'm an old guy. So yeah, sleep apnea is what I was just describing, the stopping breathing during the night. That can be due to an obstruction in the upper airway, which is the most common way, or it could be something called central sleep apnea when there's no obstruction, you just stop breathing. And yes, sleep apnea devices can help. What happens is, you know, there's a series of tubes that create our respiratory tract, and that is, they're not like pipes, they're very flexible tubes, and they can collapse at different places during a respiration or an attempt for respiration. And when you have that collapse, you need to sort of open that airway up. And there are many ways that people do that. CPAP actually blows air into your upper respiratory tract. It allows you to breathe out as well. And when you're breathing in, it blows more air into that respiratory tract and creates a pneumatic splint that opens up your airway and keeps it open during the night. So it's the most common treatment for sleep apnea. I've worked for 25 years with people to help them accommodate to the use of CPAP, and you absolutely can accommodate it. Some people just love it and it changes their lives, and other people struggle quite a bit using CPAP.
Amazing technology nonetheless, though, so that's very impressive. I have another question here. Are there any routines that you recommend before going to sleep? Erica is asking.
It's a great question, Erica. You know, I'm always struck by the fact that we have routines for our infants and our children. We live by those routines when we have babies because we need our sleep and we want them to get their sleep. But at some point in our life, we abandon routines and we just assume that we'll manage sleep on our own or our kids will manage sleep on their own. So I do think that, especially if you're struggling with sleep, routines are important. So what I would do is definitely try to stop drinking caffeine or consuming caffeine, because an ounce and a half of dark chocolate can have as much caffeine as a half of a Mountain Dew. So it can be quite caffeinated. So no caffeine after, I'd say you want to have like 10 hours before bed. Caffeine can stay in your system 10 to 12 hours. So really think about that. You want to have no alcohol or so about 4 hours before bed, if that's possible for you. No meals about 3 hours before bed. And about an hour before bed, you want to start to dim the lights, de-stress a bit. Meditation works, relaxation, anything that you need to do to de-stress can help you prepare for sleep. And then keep your room completely dark and free from noise if you can. And that'll all sort of set the stage and build that routine for sleep. I will say, artificially warming your body with a warm bath, if you want to do that, should happen about an hour and a half or so before bed, maybe 2 hours. Gives your body an opportunity to drop in its core body temperature, preparing you for sleep. And if you use exercise to actively warm your body, the best time to do that is probably about 4 to 6 hours before bed.
This sounds like a dream routine. I'm going to have to take this advice. All right. So it looks like we have another question here from Hassan. Does sleep position impact sleep?
So there's been a lot of talk about sleep position these days, and most people are sort of side sleepers or switching back and forth. I think the fewest number of people are stomach sleepers, and then there's also back sleepers. The data suggests that the healthiest way to sleep is sleeping on your right side, and that's associated with your heart and how your heart functions. But again, don't worry about it if you sleep on your left side or your back or your stomach. I think you want to sleep in the position that's most comfortable for you. Don't overthink it. But if you tend to be a side sleeper and you're making the choice between right and left, you know, maybe start out on your right side.
A great place to start. Well, Dr. Aloya, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for sharing all of this incredible information. I just wanted to talk to our viewers for a minute and say, in case you missed it earlier, you can save up to $1,000 on a Sleep Number smart bed, plus use the exclusive Care Experts live code CAREcredit at checkout for an extra $50 off. Shop now at www.carecredit.com/sleepnumberoffer. Promotions are not valid on clearance non-smart bed closeout items or previous purchases. Savings off full retail price. Restrictions may apply. Prices subject to change without notice. Offer valid 3/6/24 at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 3/18/24, 11/59 Pacific Standard Time. Pictures may represent features and options available at additional cost. Prices higher in Alaska and Hawaii. Not all bed models are displayed in stores. Beds and bases not available for in-store pickup. Additional non-refundable shipping and delivery fees apply unless otherwise stated. Shipping and delivery fees do not include return shipping. Enter code CAREcredit at checkout to receive $50 off your purchase of a smart bed. Promotions are not valid on all non-clearance, non-smart bed closeout items or previous purchases. Offer valid 3/6/24 at 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time to 3/18/24, 11/59 Pacific Standard Time. Use of the CAREcredit credit card is not required and is only accepted in store. Thank you so much for watching our sleep episode of Care Experts Live, brought to you in partnership with Sleep Number. And thanks to everyone who submitted questions. If you missed any of today's Care Experts Live episode, catch up on our weekly podcast series available on all major listening platforms. All of our featured care experts recommend and accept the CAREcredit credit card, which is accepted at hundreds of thousands of provider locations nationwide. Visit carecredit.com for more information. And be sure to subscribe to our weekly Care Experts podcast on your favorite listening platform and subscribe to the CAREcredit YouTube channel for new podcast episodes every Wednesday. Thank you so much for joining us. All of you still in the chat, Jessica, Cheryl, Omar, Christina, Janet. Excellent. Thank you all so much for joining us. We had such a pleasure today talking with Dr. Aloya and we learned so much. So thank you. We'll see you next time. All products, service, and company names are the trademarks of their original owners. The use of any trade name or trademark is for identification and reference only and does not imply any endorsement, sponsorship, or affiliation by or with the trademark holder of their brand.
Thanks for joining us on Care Experts with CAREcredit. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share with friends and family. And stay tuned for new episodes every week. All information, opinions, and recommendations discussed in this episode are for your information only. We believe the information sources are generally reliable, but because of possible human or mechanical error by the sources, Synchrony or its affiliates, including CAREcredit, does not provide warranty to the accuracy, quality, or completeness of the information or any results obtained from it. Any statement or opinions in this episode are the doctor's alone, and included data was current to the time of creating this episode. Please consult your own advisors before using any of this information.